Amen and amen. Speak the word, because again, with things that we are seeing today, with disease and famine, earthquakes, fire, hard times, spiritual warfare, attacks, we need the word of God to be speaking now more than ever. Would you give me an amen to that, to let me know that you are in agreement to that part? Because we need God now more than ever. We need to really dig down within our spiritual souls and seek the Lord and seek His Word and seek the truth. Because, you know, folks, we've been going through a lot of things as of late. You know, I mean, you can't help but no matter where you turn, you're always seeing something is going on. You know, you're seeing things constantly on the news. You're seeing things constantly in your local newspaper, you know, your local radio stations. I mean, you know, if you got these fancy cell phones, you get sometimes these alerts and this and that, you know. And folks, it really, you know, someone said the other day to me when I was talking to them, they said, "Jim, you know, this is out of control." And I looked at them and I smiled. I said, "Sir, I beg you different. It's not out of control. It's only us that seems like to make it out of control. But God has all this in control. He always had. And if you study scriptures carefully, you know, no matter what we may think and no matter what speculations we may come up with, God's word has the plan already in effect. He started from the beginning and he's going to finish it at the end." You know, and kind of I'm hit on that tonight, and there's kind of lessons I'm doing on Thursday night. I'm doing a series right now, you know, what Christians have. And I'm end up doing the messages based on the men's teachings, you know, what Christians have, because it had to turn into a series, because as I told the men last night, it was too much for me to cover in a 35, 40 minute period. So I'm breaking it down in sessions. So I'm also being spilled over to make this as a message for us. So the next several weeks, it's going to be a continuing message in series, you know, message 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know, however long it's going to be. But, you know, I think we need to hear that. Because when I started working on that lesson, you know, I was thinking about speaking the word. You know, as I was going through the word kept speaking to my heart. And it kept showing me this, and it kept revealing this, and it kept revealing that. Because that's what God's word does. He reveals things to us. He reveals it to, actually, the Spirit in us. It's not us that reveal things to us, but we have to remember it is Him that speaks to us. And that's why the song, Speak the Word, was used for this message, because again, it kind of ties into the message. I've been trying to find songs to tie into my messages, but you know, we're going to go with it just the way it is. I'm sure some of you, I can feel my voice going already. I've been having problems lately. And I did tell some of my minister friends the other day, you know, I've been going through a rough patch, a hard time. It's been very difficult for me. It's even got to a point sometimes where I kind of felt like, you know what, I think I'm going to back off on ministries altogether and just sit back, you know, and just go find my own little thing, you know, with this and everything else. It's just, it's been so hard on me and it's difficult. And lately, you know, in the last several, I'll say, you know, the last 7 to 8 weeks now, people's been criticizing me because they didn't like decisions made with this ministry here. They didn't like the way things is being done. You know, I'm constantly getting bombarded with email attacks, you know, from anonymous users claiming some called me a real piece of you-know-what, you know, for acting the way we're acting in this online ministry, you know. That, you know, and I got some other, which I can't repeat the things they say, but then I look at it, and I say, well, wait a minute, these folks are supposed to be Christians. So, you know, on that, with the attacks and everything else, it just makes you to the point you get discouraged and you say, you know what? I had enough of it. I could go find something better for myself than to deal with people online or in ministry altogether. But, you know, the other day, you know, that's why the song was, you know, Speak the Word, because I was cutting grass, and I don't tend to tell people this, you know. I know I'm getting off track a little bit. Please forgive me. This will run over a little bit. I'm sorry for that. But I normally don't tell people this, you know, whenever, if you want to say it like this, when God speaks to you in your mind that you know he's speaking to you, okay? Some folks call that Pentecostal or something like that, whatever, you know. I generally don't go tell people, oh, well, the Lord spoke to me today when I was cutting grass. But he did. And it did reveal some things to me, and I'm still waiting on the end results. I'm waiting to get in contact a couple more people to talk to them, and I'm going to confirm it with them to see what's going to become of this. So, you know, I'm waiting. Some MIA, I want to talk to them. I want to see what their intentions is, if they're going to commit, if they're going to put time into this, if we're going to do other things, because if they're not, then yes, we may be moving on. It's hard to say, but I'm not going to make that decision yet. So we're just going to wait. But anyhow, the question I have to ask you, those of you who are here tonight, those who are going to be listening to this, what is a phone? Can somebody give me an answer? What is a phone? Everybody's probably going, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that, what Jim's asking. But think about it, really. Form of communication, cool. All right, an instrument to communicate with others. Hey, I like that one there too. Okay, cool. All right, we got some smart ones here. But did you know that today's modern cell phones, the fancy-dancy ones we got? Now, I know some people out there still got them old, like Star Trek phones and flip phones. You got to flip them open, and you just dial, and that's it. I used to have one of them, so I know what I'm talking about. Because I swore when I was getting into these phones, look, all I want is just a plain, fancy, plain Jane phone. Open it up, press the numbers, press send, and that's it. But man, look, cell phones today has came a long way. And you know that modern cell phones today are really capable of much more than just sending and receiving phone calls? Did you know that? I think you do. See, mobile phones today, that's used in the world, allows users to send and receive text messages. Wow. I didn't know what text message was until I started hanging around someone that got one of those new phones that can do that. Now they can send emails. Like, wow, really? Photos. Grandparents are now starting to get into it. They can send photos to, you know, one another or their grandkids or whatever. And also, you know, they can send videos as well as accessing the internet. And even more than that, Fred can agree with me on this. You play games on them. You listen to music. And yes, even a GPS, in case some of us who still don't understand that, means global positioning systems. And much more. That's the power of the cell phones. And actually, I was amazed because I was delivering Sunday school books. And yes, I was using my cell phone. Got a little thing you plug into it. You plug into the little radio thing in my car, you know, and the screen comes up, you know, and it's got the Apple Map thing on there. And you type in the address and bam, it tells you where to go. Like, cool. I don't need a map anymore. I got a ton of maps sitting behind me right now on my shelf. I used to take trips because I had to stop at every state, every gas station. I had to buy maps of the area, so I had to look at the map in order to know where I'm going, but not today. The phone takes care of that. Great thing. And someone just mentioned it just a little while ago that the cell phone has become an important communication tool that's used by people all over the world to keep in contact with each other at any given time. And besides all those fancy features, all the fancy features of the cell phones, one most important feature is making or receiving phone calls. You know, we just talked about all the fancy things our phones can do, but the most important thing that it does is makes phone calls and receives them. Now, with all that said, that's why I had to paint this picture for you. You know, I had to get your mindset to where we're going with the message. Now, if you think about it, let's take this into a different direction. Did you know that even God himself calls? Did you know? God himself calls. And yes, God does call. And he calls in many different ways to us. You want to know the proof? The Bible speaks of people being called by God. All you got to do is read the scriptures. But what does that really mean? just what is a calling? I know y'all heard that before. A calling. Oh, God called me to this. But what does that really mean, a calling? Or have you been called? Is God calling you right now? How would you know? What proof do you have? Is everyone who believes in God called by God? You think about that one. Is everyone who believes in God is called by God? Or why does God call people? Does God call people for a purpose other than just to know Him and love Him? Is a calling the same as a conversation? Is it? See, folks, this is many questions I ponder on this when writing this message. And this was a lesson. It was a men's lesson. And that's why I went deeper with this. With God's calling, we will find out sooner or later what the call really is, or why God Himself calls to His people. We all know from the Bible, all of us should know it. We know from the Bible that God has a specific purpose for each of us. Think about that one. How many times have you talked to a brother or sister in Christ? I don't have no purpose. I seem like that God just don't have a purpose for me. What is my purpose? Folks, in fact, all of you here tonight have been called and have a purpose. All of you have a purpose in His plan. So to never, never think that you don't have a purpose. We all do. In some sort or shape or form. We do. And as well as a specific purpose for every individual life, God's general will for us all is revealed in the Bible. That's right. God's general will for all of us is revealed in the Bible. You just have to look for it. God's primary calling for all of us is to know Him and to be known by Him. Let me repeat that so you can get this clear, because I know I'm an old Cajun boy. And my accent sometimes is not that great. But God's primary calling for all of us is to know Him and to be known by Him. The truth of the matter is, the truth of God's calling means that for followers of Christ, everyone, everywhere, and in everything lives the whole of the life as a response to God's call. Everyone, everywhere, and everything lives the whole of a life as a response to God's call. You are in the same boat. If you got your Bibles with you, Lisa, she's going to post it for us tonight. And everyone, thank her for doing this, because this is tedious work on her part, too. You know, she does a good job at it. And I always compliment her on that, because, again, you know, it does take a little effort to be here. It takes a little effort to keep up. I wonder if Jen's going to be right at the verse or what, because, you know, I don't normally send her my sermons, but I send her the scriptures. But if you got your Bibles with you tonight, she's going to post it for you. We're going to 1 Corinthians Chapter 7, verse 17. And it reads this: only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. With that, let's go to prayer. Heavenly gracious Father, as we come to you tonight or this evening, whichever the time zones may be, Father, we first of all submit ourselves to you and your authority. And Father, if there's anything within us, sin or inverted thoughts or something we acted on today or before the start of this message, I ask of you to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, I don't want to be in sin when listening to your words. I don't want to be in sin when your words are speaking. And I repent of these sins. And I constantly repent of them. I strive to be more like your Son each and every day. I try to be light walkers for others to see. And that's still a work in progress. And Father, if there's anything we have done wrong, again, please forgive us. We didn't mean it. We're trying to honor you the best way we can. I ask you to bless the folks that's here tonight. You know, it's been kind of hard lately. You know, it seemed like that zeal of many other folks who used to be here just don't seem like they have it anymore. It's like they don't want to be here anymore. It's like they don't want to listen to the word anymore. So I've been questioning that and wondering what's going on. But I'm going to ask of you to deal with them and speak to their hearts. If you got to rebuke them, do it. You know, if you got to get to them and find out why, because as a friend told me the other day, he said, Jim, I've been sick lately. I couldn't been at your site. I've been bedridden. And I missed your messages. And I can't even lift my arms up to get to the phone to type them. But, you know, I'm getting better. But, you know, as you always done, the word that was revealed to you was meant for somebody that might be there tonight. So don't give up on that. Because, again, if the words are received by God to you to speak to them, then that's probably for someone who's in here tonight. And that encouraged me because, again, I understood what he said, you know. And, Lord, it's not about numbers. It's not about people. But I want to see the folks to have that hunger, to have that desire, to have that fellowship, to speak to one another, especially in trying times today. We need it. We need that fellowship. So I ask of you just to reach out to them for whatever reason it is that while they're not here, speak to their hearts, speak the word, and draw them because you do the drawing, not us. Father, we thank you and love you and praise you. We want to give it all to you in Jesus' name. We all say amen. And yes, folks, y'all see the message. The bot, you know, slams in the room every hour. The message tonight is God is calling. Now, we've seen in this passage, as we just read, we see in this section develops a theme of what I call faithfulness to a Christian calling rather than social status. I'll stop there real quick because, again, we seem to see many things today. It has to be about social, tongue-tied, like social distance thing. I still get messed up on that one. But it seems like things today, it has to be social. It has to be about me. Or look at us. Or look what we're saying. Look at my status. I'm a movie star. I'm a football player. I'm a congressman. I'm a representative. I'm whatever. But we see Christians also acting the same way. Many I have seen lately or seeking power, positions, status, names. And when I see that, it grieves my heart because, again, when I look at this, when you read the passages, you know, God's not calling us for a social status. He's not calling us to say, for you to brag that, look at me and this and that. No, that's not what God's doing. See, what's going on here, folks, is faithfulness to being a Christian rather than to social status. And whether you are upper class or lower class, powerful or powerless, married or single. It's irrelevant. It doesn't mean nothing. What matters is your calling from God. What matters is your calling from God and understanding His call and what it means. So each of you here tonight need to understand fully, what is my calling? I don't know if you really, 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 really took the time to sit down and look at the calling. If not, pick your time whenever you can be alone, you know, and kind of examine yourself and ask yourself the question and ask the Lord, Lord, what is my calling? And what do you want? And what should I do? So you need to really understand what His calling is and what it means to you. So again, you've been hearing me use the word so far. What do I mean by calling? Well, for a moment, please, let me say simply that calling is the truth that God calls us to Himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with a special devotion and actions lived out as a response to His summons and service. That's kind of a technical way of saying that's His calling. But this truth, the calling, has been a driving force in many of the greatest leaps forward in world history. It has. The constitution of the Jewish nation at Mount Sinai, the birth of the Christian movement in Galilee. In short, the calling in the Bible is a central and dynamic theme that becomes a metaphor for life of faith itself. To limit the word, as some insist on doing, to a few texts or to a particular stage in salvation is to miss the forest for the trees. To be a disciple of Jesus, my friends, is to be a called one. And so to become a follower of the way. So in our message tonight, this is where we're going to go. In our message tonight, we're going to talk about the calls of God. There are many. This is just going to be a few I'm going to hit on. But we're going to talk about the calls of God in our lives that God sends us and what they mean. And He sends them to you too. The first call of God is, or what He does, God calls us with a holy calling. Let that sink in. God calls us with a holy calling. You want proof? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And this is what it says. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our own works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Wow, that's wonderful. So like that mobile phone I was talking about a little bit earlier, it does not matter how many apps or how many phone calls you make, God's saving and calling of believers is not according to their works. It never was, and it never will be. It's impossible for people to earn their way to heaven. Many people claim that you can. They're going to find out in the last day, no, you can't. Salvation, my friends, is according to God's own purpose or His sovereign plan and not what you do. And nothing we can do to earn us into heaven. That's already been done at the cross. Jesus Christ was the one that took care of it. So we've been called with a holy calling. The second call that God does, and I'm going to step on some of my Catholic friends here with this. They're not going to like this one. Oh, they're going to get probably folded arms and getting a bit in a huff. I don't like what he's saying about that part. Well, I'm sorry for you Catholics who's listening to this, but the truth is the truth. Biblical truth is all I speak. But you Catholic friends out there who's going to be listening to this, I hate to pop your bubble, but the second calling that God calls to us, God calls us to be saints. God calls us to be saints. Now, Catholic friends say, oh, Brother Jim, you're just saying that. No, I ain't. I'm talking like a Cajun now. No, I ain't. No. I'm going to show you in scriptures where it says so. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Don't believe me? Read the Word of God. If you don't believe the Word of God, then, my friends, you got a problem. But again, God calls us to be saints because according to scriptures, it's right there. Look what Romans 1, verse 7 says. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Ooh, wait a minute. Ooh, hold on. Let me get my pencil. I need to scratch that one out because there's only one person that's a saint, and that's the Pope himself. Wrong. God called us to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait, there's more. And I'm going to get like an info commercial now. There's more, my friends. Let's look at another calling. John chapter 12, verse 32. So that's two scriptures I'm going to show you right there that shows us that God has called us to be saints. John chapter 12, verse 32. And it says this. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, and this is Jesus himself talking now, my friends, will draw all people to myself. Whoa. Really? You see, my friends, all who are called by God are to be saints by those who come to Jesus. Right there is your proof. So, my Catholic friends, if you read these scriptures and you get mad, bent out of shape, sorry. But the truth is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. Not Jimbo. Not Beth. Not Child of God. Not Fred. Not Rick. Not R.W. We can say all we want to say, but the Word of God is the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. We're all saints. We've been called by God, those who accepted Jesus Christ, to be saints. Sorry. The third calling that God calls us, and I love this one, the third calling that God calls us into his marvelous light. Now, I'm not saying I still do, but I kind of watch every night. It ain't the same like it was back then, but I'm an old Saturday Night Live fan. I'm an old man, but I'm talking about the good old Saturday Night Live. I don't know if some of you have watched the older ones I'm talking about. And thing with Billy Crystal. I forgot the name of the character, but he always used to say the word marvelous. You look marvelous. When I saw that God calls us into his marvelous light, I was thinking like Billy Crystal, you know. Oh, Mr. Bill, yeah, that's a good one there. But see, folks, God calls us into his marvelous light. How do we know this? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, and here we go, here's your proof. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you, and look at this, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Woo-hoo! You see that? He called you out of darkness into his light. We didn't go in there and flip on a light switch or something like that. We didn't go do nothing on our work. He called us into his marvelous light. He said, come to me, all you who are heavy with burdens. I'm kind of paraphrasing that a little bit, but he called us. And what this is telling us, and it tells me, all of us at one time were walking in darkness. We was walking in darkness. And yes, we were condemned. John chapter 3 verse 18 says so. There are some that's condemned already, and I mean they're condemned from the get-go. So, you know, again, I hate to bust the Calvinist world. See, I just popped on the Christians. Now I'm just going to pop on the Calvinists. See, the Calvinism, or the Calvinist folks, or the camp, thinks this. I like to slap them upside the head. You know, I'm a minister. I shouldn't slap people upside the head, but I want to slap them upside the head. But see, the Calvinist view thinks God only picks and chooses who he wants. Well, if that be the case, then why did Jesus have to die on a cross in the first place? If God already knows who's going, he's going to pick, the cross was meaningless, served no purpose. But what they fail to understand, they can't comprehend this, and pops my bubble every time I talk to one who believes in Calvinism. You see, my friends, as I just mentioned earlier, Jesus himself said he was going to call the people, draw everybody to himself who decides to go to him. Free will. God does not mess with free will. They want to throw free will out the window. But the problem is, God is a God that knows and sees and hears everything. He knew you before you were even born in your mother's womb. He knows already who is going to say yes to Jesus, and he knows already who's going to reject Jesus. But see, that's what the Calvinistic camp will not teach you. But you, he called you because he knew it's your time to come into the light. He called you because he knew your specific time, you were come to the light. Yes, Jesus did die for everybody, but not everybody's going to be saved. Not everybody's going to say yes. And God knew that. That's why he had to put this plan in place. But see, all of us at one time were walking in darkness, but because of his calling, he called us. Guess what? We are now walking in light. And we got a new saying in our church. It's a catchphrase we've been throwing around each other. Pastor started this, but now we're kind of using it light. And I'm going to use it to you, and you need to start thinking about this. You see, we got a saying in our church, and it's called this. Be light walkers. Everyone here tonight should be a light walker. Be light walkers so all can see. We know that little song. I'm going to let this light in me shine, this little light in me shine, let it shine, let it shine. We need to let that light shine, folks. We need to be light walkers. We need the people out there in that world to see who Christ is. Be light walkers, but walk into his marvelous light. And the fourth calling, and I love this, I love them all. Lisa's probably laughing. She said, yeah, I know, Brother Jim, drinking on water. That's what happens when I don't preach from last week. My throat gets messed up. But anyway, the fourth calling, God calls us into his eternal glory. Now, if that don't get your noggins all shaken up, I don't know what will. But folks, do you understand this, that God calls us into his eternal glory? How do we know? Well, let's go to scriptures once again. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And look what it says. after you have suffered a little while. Now, I'm going to hang on to this for right now, because all of us has been suffering. All of us has been going through hard times. All of us has been going through difficulties. But folks, those of us who are in Christ Jesus, that's what this verse is telling us. You have suffered a little while. We're going to suffer. Christ made no bones about it. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't candy coat it. He told us in scriptures, when you look at it, it's right there in the Bible. You shall have tribulation. We're already experiencing tribulation on this planet, folks. We don't need to be in the great tribulation. We're going through it now. We're all suffering. We're all dealing with difficulties. We're all dealing with pains and aches and you name it. But it's all done for His glory, because He told us what was going to happen. But here's Peter reaffirming that, saying that after you have suffered for a little while, which is our short lifespan, that the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Wow. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to this. And this is why I use these different translations. And the ESV has it like this. We have no problem with the Bible by one here. But look what it's saying here. Look at this passage. And folks, like a doctor setting a broken bone, God Himself, no one else, God Himself will mend our broken lives and make us whole. And what I'd like for us to see here tonight in this passage, four very important key words. Four very important key words. And they are, A, look at it, will Himself restore. Woo. Do you see this? Do you? What's going to happen, we're going to be made back into what we were supposed to be from the very beginning. You get that? He Himself will restore. And He's going to make us to what we're supposed to be from the very get-go, before the snake got into the garden and messed it all up, before evil came into an existence. That's why God, you know, knew every possible combination. He knew wickedness, evilness, sin was going to enter man one way or the other. So it didn't matter how many times he might have felt like, you know, I'm just going to recreate till I get it right. No, that's not how God operated. He knew. So He knew, well, you know what? I'm not going to bother wasting all this time trying to do with it. And a lot of people say, well, Jim, then how come, you know, He created Lucifer and all them in the first place if He knew that what was going to happen? Well, see, what you don't understand, He already knew sin was still going to enter man no matter what. There was only one perfect person that can fulfill that plan. That was His Son, Christ Jesus. So the plan has to be unfolded, and it has to play out. It's like a symphony. Or it's like I don't know what you call those things people go to, plays. Yeah, they go to like New York and watch them plays, and they got different scenes. The scenes take place. Well, the scene here will unfold. And it will change, and it will come to a climactic end, which is in Revelation. So the plan has to go into effect. So He Himself eventually is going to restore us to what we were from the very beginning. And B, the second important word in this passage is confirm. Now, we know what the word confirm means. We see the truth in His words, because the words tell us so. And because of His calling, my friends, He will confirm it. Now you're thinking, Jim, I think I kind of get what you're saying. Well, what do you mean about Him that He's going to confirm? Well, folks, anytime God is calling you to do something, He's going to confirm it. Now, you may look at me kind of funny. If I was seeing your face, you might be kind of having a look. I'm really not sure. I mean, a lot of things that I thought was God's calling, but I never received no confirmation. Well, then again, it might not have been his calling. But when God is calling you to do something, my friends, I promise you, I know it for a fact, he's going to confirm it. The fact of the matter is the day I remember when I was sitting in a church, we call it down the bayou here, but I was sitting in a church and it was ordaining a deacon. You know, I was sitting somewhere towards the mid-back. And the best way that I can describe it, and if you've been watching the Animal Planet and stuff like that, but the best way that I can describe it is like a salmon swimming upstream. And when I was watching Animal Planet, and those salmons, every year, they got to go upstream. They got to get to their starting point. No matter what, no matter what the cost is, but it's a driving force. So like that day, that when I saw that friend of mine, a deacon, get ordained, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I felt God calling me to come into the ministry. I can't describe it no other way. I just knew. I knew what I knew what I knew. And I came home and I kept having that calling in my heart. Like, you know, I was reading. I was asking God, okay, God, what does this mean? What am I supposed to do? How do I start this process? Well, the pastor of my church that I was at, he come into my shop and he sat down with me and said, Jim, you know, I've been watching you on Wednesday night teaching the church. Have you ever considered going into the ministry? Boy, I kind of like, whoa, what? Wow. That's kind of like a Twilight Zone type thing, you know, if you think about it. So I said, okay, yeah, you know, he explained to him, but I kind of thought about it. Then I went to another pastor, friends of mine, that had a barbecue. He pulled me on the side because he asked me to speak in front of the group. And he said the same thing, Jim, have you ever considered going into the ministry? Whoa. And that's two pastors. But it didn't stop there because I was still seeking the truth in God's words. Went to another church, another pastor friend of mine, and he let me speak before his men group. And afterwards, you know, he came and said, Jim, I think you need to consider going into the ministry. Wow. And then my former pastor of the church that I was attending called me up one day and said, Jim, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. Son, you need to consider going into the ministry. Now, that's four confirmations right there. But it didn't end there. The fifth one called me on the phone, the church I went to go help. He said, Jim, if your current pastor does not license you to become a minister, I will. And I knew it. That was confirmation. So, friends, what I'm trying to say that, you know, when we seek the truth in God's words, whenever we are felt led or drawn to go do something in ministry or whatever it may be, being helpers or teachers or assistants or just, you know, whatever it is, whatever you feel that calling, God's going to confirm it. He's going to confirm it. The word says so. And see, the third important key word in that passage right there is strengthen. And that's right, friend, because you know what? We're all weak. And he's going to make us strong no matter what we face here on this earth. No matter what. You know why? Because you and I have hope. We have hope. Because of that hope strengthens me. And the fourth key word in this passage, the very important one, and I love it, and look at it, establish you. Now, when you think about this one, before Christ, before Jesus, and this applies to all of us, before we even knew Jesus, each of us had no place, no hope, no life, and we were eternal, damned, and lost forever. we were lost. But now, because of his calling, you now have a place in his holy kingdom and will live forever with him. Wow. Is that a great calling or what? Is it? So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. I told you it's going to be a little bit long. You and I, my friends, have been called for a purpose. To use your gifts to serve the common good, to bring glory to God, and to advance his kingdom. By God's grace, we can know why we are called. What we are called to do, and how we are called to do it. Now, before you try to rush out and seek what that calling may be, don't force it. Please don't. Don't force it. Don't try to make it into what you think it should be. Trust in his words. Trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the hardest things to do when it comes to the calling is trusting God's timing and plan. Especially when there are specific goals you aspire to or things you feel God has impressed on your heart that he wants to do through your life. And here in this passage we're about to type or say, here in this passage, I think all of us, this is what I believe, I think all of us had heard many times over and over and over. And it's a good passage to apply to our lives in seeking God's calling. This passage, to me, lays out some of the wise life advice, but they can also be steps that help us trust God with his calling for our lives. Listen to what it says. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And this is what it says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You see, friends, you want to learn a lesson from this passage? Well, the lesson from this passage is four things. The first one is, don't trust in your own understanding. And what I mean by that, don't rely on your own ideas of the path, the timing, and what it looks like. The second thing we need to learn from this passage is trust in the Lord. And I mean by this is trust in his good intentions, his idea of the path, the timing, and what it will look like. The third thing that we can learn from this passage is seek out and do his will faithfully in the season you're in. And what I mean by this to you, my friends, is follow God's instructions as outlined in the Bible, as well as faithfully stewarding the responsibilities in your life and doing whatever assignment related to your calling you can in your current circumstances. Do it. Do not be afraid. And the fourth thing that we can learn from this passage is let him direct your steps. Let him show you which path to take in his timing, not yours. And the meaning is this. Let him prompt you to open the doors and the opportunities that direct you to take the next step or to shift gears. Folks, don't try to force the doors open yourself. Don't. I tried it a few times myself, and guess what? It ended badly. Don't force that door yourself, because it will end badly. Let God open that door. God has been both challenging and encouraging me with this lately, because really, it's so hard for me. It really is. God's been challenging me on that, because it really has just been hard. And there's so much that I want to do. There's so much I want to give. There's so much I want to see people doing. I want to see Christians together, fellowshipping, doing ministry work, helping each other out. There's so much more I want to do to serve God and the people, but my biggest fear, and yes, I have fears, my biggest fear is it may not happen or it may not come true. And every time I seem like I start up a ministry or try to work in a ministry, and especially like this chat ministry, my biggest fear is I don't think it's going to come true. Because of that, I constantly have to try to resist the inclination to make things happen in my way, in my time. I used to have a bad habit. I wouldn't make it my way, in my time, but I had to stop that. Because I always had a bad habit of trying to make it the way I think it was supposed to happen. And that was wrong. I should never had. Should have never done. But I have learned this one thing, folks. Over and over again, this is something I learned. Over and over again, God shows me that if I just keep doing the next right thing and wait on His timing, I'm going to repeat that. If you and I just keep doing the next right thing and wait on His timing, He always gets me or you to where we need to be. Always. God gets us where we need to be. And yes, my friends, I know it. He's going to do the same for you. Because bottom line, at the end of the day, the most important thing to remember when knowing His call is obedience to God. Obey. Be obedient to Him. Plain and simple. The sooner we obey, the sooner He can start working things out for His ultimate glory and our ultimate good. Amen. Let's pray.